Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompiani here with Seth Davis behind the glass, and Seth will be taking your calls. If you call first, it's 412-928-9370. We have a very busy and a very interesting weekend ahead here, and thank you for joining us here this morning. 412-928-9370, that is the number to call. It's also the number of the Fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with expressway cochrane.com. Ride in style and go one better at Number One Cochrane. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. And Sandorovich, Sandorovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. We have a busy day. As I said, the big item is the Steelers and the Eagles tomorrow. And all of a sudden, this injury report is looking more and more daunting for the Steelers. Not only is George Pickens out, but now DeShone Elliott is out, both dealing with hamstrings. Larry Ogunjobi out. You wonder about the run defense, and a lot of it will fall on Patrick Queen now, as the Steelers got to deal with Saquon Barkley. And what a season. I mean, the dude is just off the charts here. He's embarking on historic numbers. But you know what? It's interesting. Both of these teams are as hot as they can get. It's the first time in a long time we have two teams from the same state meeting head-to-head, both with over 10 wins. And that made me think about Governor Josh Shapiro. He is the presiding governor here, so he has to, you know, work both sides, and that's what politicians are supposed to do anyway. They work both sides. He'll be calling in here shortly. I just want to get his take on what his thoughts are in this game. And I wanted to also ask him any updates about the NFL draft coming to Pittsburgh in 2026. In the meantime, you can call here at 412-928-9370. We have a lot to get into. I want to talk about this matchup. It is a five-star matchup. That's how Mike Tomlin likes to refer to these things. And when you look at the numbers since week six of this season, almost really identical. The Steelers are 7-1 since week six. The Eagles are 9-0. You know, they've won all nine in a row of these games. But if you look at the points per game, The Steelers actually average more points per game in games since week six, 28.9 versus 28.4. But the point differential is in favor of Philadelphia, as they're plus 118. The Steelers are plus 66. Turnovers, and this is the key department for the Steelers. They lead the NFL in takeaways. They have plus 13, where the Eagles are plus 10. Everything else is pretty much even. So these are two hot teams. But again, you're in a situation now where you have one team that's banged up here, and that's using that term lightly. Because when you think about it, George Pickens represents a lot of what the Steelers do on offense. We saw that in play last week, and to their credit against Cleveland, and Cleveland is no Philadelphia defensively, the Steelers dug deep and they came up with performances from people like Mike Williams and Calvin Austin and Van Jefferson and others. But I got to tell you, the one area of concern for me is, and I want to see this become an area of an exclamation point, that would be Pat Freiermuth at tight end, because he has been used, and when he's used, he's going to make things happen. I don't think there's any question about that. His last three games, now you add these all together, 14 targets, 13 catches, 175 yards. So he's been targeted 14 times, 13 catches. To me, that just screams for more activity. He has been really good, especially that throw that Russell Wilson made to him last week over the middle of the field, just splitting two defenders and putting it right on the money. That was a great throw and a good route. And so I would utilize him far more than they are. I think 14 times in three games is not enough. So let's see what they do, especially with no George Pickens in there. But they're going to have to come up with big efforts here. I think the offensive line is going to be tested like it hasn't been tested against a really good defense. The one matchup I look at specifically that could really decide this maybe is Mason McCormick, the rookie. He has been a dog out there. There's no question about that. But he's going against an even bigger dog in Jalen Carter, second-year man out of Georgia. They have a lot of Georgia dogs on that team, as a matter of fact. Jalen Carter has been wrecking people up. So, you know, Mason McCormick's going to have his hands full. And we'll see what the Steelers can do. This may be an Arthur Smith challenge to come up with some things that we haven't seen and they haven't seen so far. But the Eagles are favored in this game. And the Steelers right now, you know, leading their division by two games, but the Ravens have a game against the Giants who have been terrible, so you would expect them to win. Although I have to caution you, the Ravens have lost some games you thought they should have won also in this crazy world. But it is the first of three games in 11 days. And that's, you know, sort of unprecedented here when you talk about it. So the Steelers have got to navigate what they can navigate here in these three games. And it's not going to be easy. Physical game this week, physical game next week, heading into a very short week against the Kansas City team, which defensively is better than I think people think. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. So we'll continue to talk about some of the trends in this game, because I think it's interesting to break it down this late into the season. Philadelphia is looking for the number one seed. When you look at possibilities of getting number one seeds, you know, they don't have the greatest opportunity because they're dealing with Detroit Lions. Although Detroit has a busy game this week against Buffalo, which is also thinking about a number one seed. After losing, Buffalo needs to rebound. They went out west and got involved in a very high-scoring affair against the Rams, who beat them. But Buffalo came on strong at the end of that game. They got the Lions tomorrow in Detroit. The Lions are looking for number one seed. So is Buffalo. But Buffalo cannot afford to lose. Detroit is a banged-up team as well. So these games will be going opposite one another, which I think is a very interesting thing to think about here, because normally you don't find two games like this matched up at the same exact time. Here's another thing that I'm looking forward to seeing. Who will have a bigger second half in this game? Two guys who've been really good in the second half. Russell Wilson for Pittsburgh, Saquon Barkley for Philadelphia. When you look at it, Russell Wilson in the second half this year, passing yards per game is third in the NFL. Passing yards per attempt is first in the NFL. Quarterback passer rating in the second half of games, he is number one in the NFL, 121.5. He gets better as the season goes on. But so does Saquon Barkley, who in the second half of games has been off the charts with his numbers. In fact, most of his numbers have come in the second half, and he's very good at yards after contact here. So the question will be who in the second half of games will step up and who will make it important for the team that they play for to put this game away. So you have two really good second half performers. I want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Another thing I want to hear is if you had to give an MVP right now. Now, typically this is not a complicated thing, right? It isn't. Tell me who you think your MVP of the team is. But I will throw in some praise here for Chris Boswell. And I know kickers don't normally do this. But when you look at some of the disparity of kicking numbers around the NFL, it's crazy. Chris Boswell is number one in the NFL. He leads them in points. But where he's been really good at, and you don't see this normally with kickers, is long-distance kicks. I'm going to do a compare and contrast here real quick. Jake Elliott for Philadelphia, he's really struggled. And this could, in one-score games, man, this is big. Jake Elliott is 0 for 5, 50-plus yards this year. 0 for 5. He's missed some point afters. Boswell, of his 36 field goals, 11 have been over 50 yards. That could very well come down to how this game goes. 412-928-9370. Let's go to the lines, find out what people have to say, beginning with AJ in Natrona Heights. Hello, AJ. How are you?
Good day to you. Always a pleasure to call in on when you're on, Bob.
Thank you, AJ. Appreciate it. What's up, man?
There's a lot to talk about with this game, but I want to focus on Pickens. I think it'll say a lot if they lose, even closely on Sunday without him, in terms of how quickly they bring him back. But I have a little theory I want to run by you here, and I've been talking to people about this. It doesn't seem like he's real responsive thus far to counsel, in terms of Cam, in terms of even his teammate Jones from Georgia. And this might be a little too much speculation, but I certainly think it's worth considering that he might be kept out if they win Sunday another week, even if he's healthy. We may never know.
No, but I'm going to shoot that down, AJ. That's not the case. A lot of people want to say that, but that's not the case. He legitimately has this injury, and they would be crazy not to play him because of this kind of stuff. I think Mike Tomlin, when he does discipline, he does it internally. And I thought if you saw him on the sideline last week, I don't think he was not disengaged. If anything, he was into the game, knowing that this hamstring, they did an MRI, and they decided that it was a little bit worse than they thought going into that game. So hamstrings are different things. And even Deshaun Elliott, out of the blue, there's this hamstring. It could happen at any time. But I hear what you're saying. He does have to grow up. Mike Tomlin used those words. But I think his response to all of this will tell you where he is.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, AJ. Appreciate it. All right, let's go as we wait for the governor. We're going to go out to Gus in Beaver County. Joins us on line 6. Hello, Gus.
Bob, it's a hockey night in Pittsburgh, and I want to wish Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you, your family, and all the listeners.
You as well. Thank you.
Bob, I'm very disappointed in Tristan Jarry. He does not know how to get ready for a game. Every game, or let's say 90% of the game, he gives up either the first or second shot is a goal. Then if the Penguins are down by 3 goals or more, he plays lights out. It's very inconsistent. The team is starting to do better, but I can't believe the parity and mediocrity in a division of hockey that the Penguins play in. There's like 11 teams all within a point of each other. It's going to be a very interesting race to the playoffs.
But you pick up, Gus, I'm just going to interrupt you. This is kind of a weird time to talk about Tristan Jarry, just because I think he's been better than he was before he was set down. Don't you agree?
He has been, Bob. I won't take that away from him. But like I said, you can't come out almost every game, give up the first or second shot on goal and get behind. That's not a good thing. And with the lack of goaltending throughout the whole league, everyone is struggling in goal. I'm a Tristan Jarry fan, Bob. Let me put that out front. I'd like to see him maybe in his preparation or whatever he does come out strong and help the team out early in the game so they don't get down. But there are some promising signs here, Bob, with the Pens. I like a lot of the young people we got playing, and some of the trades look like they're working in the right direction. There is hope. Especially the way the league is. There's so much parity.
Yeah. Thank you, Gus. And Merry Christmas. I appreciate it. But, they got a big game tonight against Ottawa after really routing Montreal the other night, 9-2. And I'll say a lot about Brian Rust as I continue here. Bill, Martin, Rick, and Joe, hang on. You'll be on the lines here. But first, I'm going to go to a special guest we have. That would be the governor of the state of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, who joins us right now. And I know you're a busy man, Governor. I appreciate your time here. But I couldn't help but think this is an interesting position for a governor to be in. You have two teams, both of which have 10-plus wins. It doesn't happen like this very often. You have to go back a lot of years. So your take on this, and you have to navigate your waters, I would imagine, a little bit.
No, man. First off, Bob, it's great to be on with you. And I think there's no navigating or diplomacy in sports. You just got to be loyal to your teams, and you got to love your teams. And that's what I try and do. I appreciate the fact that the Steelers are having a hell of a season, and the Birds are having a hell of a season. I mean, you got to... 11-2 and a 10-3 team going at it from the same state in what I'm calling the Pennsylvania Bowl, though I don't think anybody else is actually calling it that.
Mike Tomlin seems to indicate that. He's talking WPIAL versus PIAA here.
I love it. And let me say, he is an unbelievable coach, and the Steelers organization is amazing. I'm reminded every time I'm in Western PA, you know, which is easily once a week, folks are reminding me that they got 6 rings out there to the Birds 1. So they love to put it in my face. And I think the chief cheerleader for the Steelers, of course, is my Lieutenant Governor, Austin Davis, who always loves to bring the trash talk.
He does. So I'm curious to know, I mean, I'm sure you're talking to a lot of people in different parts of the state. When someone asks you about rooting interests, that must put you in a tough dilemma. What do you say to them when they say, well, who do you like in this game? You can analyze it all you want and come up with a conclusion based on that, but as far as rooting interest.
No, I'm a real, real honest sports fan. I think there's no BS in your way through sports. I'm an Eagles fan, and I'm happy to cheer for the Steelers when they're not playing the Birds, and I do cheer for the Steelers, but I'm an Eagles fan, and I got the Eagles on Sunday. But I'll tell you what, I'm also a huge diehard Pitt Panthers fan. 2 of our kids go there. Love Pitt Panthers. I just think you got to be honest about your sports allegiance, and I am a big-time sports fan. I am excited not just for the fact that this is a game featuring 2 amazing teams, both from Pennsylvania. I think that there's some really wonderful storylines in this game. I mean, you've got the incredible defensive line of the Steelers going up against, really, I think, probably the best offensive line in football right now with the Birds. I mean, to see T.J. Watt going up against Lane Johnson on every play is going to be amazing. I think the resurgence, the rebirth, whatever word you want to say, on Russell Wilson is super exciting. I mean, he has led this team with just a veteran quality. He's amazing. And you got Jalen Hurts on the Birds side, who, you know, clearly needs to throw the ball downfield more. How the two of them sort of compete against each other is going to be exciting. The Birds have Saquon Barkley, who's poised to shatter records this year. How does that defensive line of the Steelers stop Saquon? I mean, I don't know that you can fully stop him, but how do you try and contain him to under 100 yards? I think there's a lot of really interesting storylines here on 2 really, really great teams. And I'm proud as hell that they're both from Pennsylvania.
No, I think it'd be great. Here's another thing I've been waiting for is a Philadelphia-Pittsburgh Super Bowl. This could be a year.
Oh, my God. That would be unbelievable. I mean, I don't want to jinx anything, but these are 2 great teams. I mean, I think you got to figure out how the Birds get past the Lions, how do the Steelers get past the Bills and the Chiefs. I mean, they're both great teams, and I think they could do it. It's just, I think one of these teams is going to come out with a lot of momentum after this win this weekend, and the other one's going to have to figure out how they dust themselves off and just keep rolling, because they're both playing really hot right now.
Well, I have to admire your honesty here, because I thought you might come on here and not say you're an Eagles fan, but you're not shying away from that, but I know what you feel about both teams. So let me ask you this, one thing, and I know you're a busy man, so I do appreciate the time. The draft is coming up here in 2026. I know you've been very much involved in it, and I know the Steelers have moved this thing. It's going to be such a huge event. You have any updates or any information you can provide to people of Pittsburgh about what's going on with draft preparation?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me say, I worked my tail off on trying to twist Roger Goodell, the football commissioner's arm, to bring the draft to Pittsburgh, and not only bring it to Pittsburgh, but bring it in 2026 when America is celebrating our 250th anniversary. And of course, Pennsylvania was at the center of all of that. So we worked really, really hard to bring it here, not only because I'm a huge football fan, huge sports fan, but also because I think it is critical for the economic vibrancy and rebirth of Pittsburgh. You know, I've been working hard on that with our downtown work and many other things. So I think it is really important that we landed the draft. Detroit, which hosted last year, had about 800,000 people show up. So even if we just hit that mark, and I think Pittsburgh can do it better than Detroit, you're talking about restaurants, bars, hotels, everything just being full, money being made for our employees out there. It's going to be really exciting, and it's just another feather in the cap of Pittsburgh, which is a great football town. So we all worked hard on that, and I got to say, hats off to Art Rooney, David Morehouse, the entire team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who put together a hell of a package to get that done. This has been a team effort. We made some commitments to revitalize Point State Park and to do some other infrastructure work leading into 2026. And I can tell you all of that is on track. We have expended the dollars at the state level that are going to be necessary to do that work. The city is doing its part. County is doing its part. Of course, the Steelers are leading the way. So I'm feeling really good about where we are. I'm staying in close touch with Roger Goodell, the commissioner, to make sure they have everything they need. And I think really the only question now is, who's picking last in the first round of that draft? The Eagles or the Steelers? I'm hoping one of them is picking last.
Maybe the last two. That would
there
be interesting.
Go.
Hey, Governor, thanks for your time. I do appreciate it. I know people are excited about what that means. And I think even though Detroit was great and all these other, they have Green Bay this year, I'm sure that would be great because it's a terrific football town. Something about Pittsburgh and the way it shows up on television is unmatched.
Amazing.
I don't think there'll be any question about that. But thank you very much for the time. Happy holidays to you, and look forward to seeing you down the road.
Hey, you got it, Bob. Thanks for having me on. To everybody, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Governor. Thank you so much. That's Josh Shapiro from his, well, he loves the Eagles. I knew that going in. I give him credit. A lot of people say, well, you can have him on a Pittsburgh radio station. He's going to talk neutral. No, he wants both to do well, obviously. All right, we have people holding on, so I'm going to get to you real quick before we take a break here. So we're going overtime, but we're doing it because I don't want to see you wait too long. Martin in Uniontown is up. Hey, Martin, you get to follow the governor. How are you?
Hey, Bob, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year first.
Thank you. You too.
And, Bob, now look, I look at it this way. I think if the Steelers just take one game at a time, like Mike Tomlin told, nobody's going to hand you that Super Bowl. You got to go out and earn it. And if they play intelligently and smart and don't make mistakes, they should be okay.
All right, Martin. Especially against them on the road. Thank you for the call and happy holidays. They got to be flawless in this game. In fact, the point spread indicates where people are thinking. It's going to be difficult for me to think the Steelers can go in there and win. But, Russell Wilson has this thing about him where he doesn't lose in Philly. 6-0 all time, but 4-0 in Philadelphia. And he's a big part of this. But he's going to be minus George Pickens. They have a tremendous offense and the best defense the Steelers are going to face this year. So it will be interesting to see how they navigate. Now, if you're going to talk about losses and what this would do, it's a non-conference loss. So that won't hurt them in terms of tiebreakers in the division. A bigger game is the one next week against Baltimore, followed by Kansas City. If you're looking for whether or not the Steelers can get, a first-round bye, because it's still available. If they should win tomorrow, they have an opportunity. Let's say that Kansas City, they've been living a charmed life, man. You can make a case they could have six losses this year, how they've gone, but they won those games. They could stumble along the way, and if they do, a head-to-head meeting against Kansas City could be the thing that separates them. So I'm not going to rule that out at all. I think it's still viable, but a lot will depend on what's going on here tomorrow and whether or not they could survive this game in Philadelphia. Bill in Uniontown. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Yes. I like to know when Russell Wilson leaves Pittsburgh, who's going to be the first-string quarterback? Will it be Justin Fields?
All right, Bill, thank you. I'll answer that. First of all, they got to decide what they're going to do at the end of the season. Both those guys can do as they please. They're both going to be free agents. Russell Wilson is being paid by Denver. Whether or not the Steelers want to match numbers, and I'm not sure what the proper contract would look like there. I think they want him around, but it just takes two to tango, as they say, and you got to figure out what the number is. Could a three-year, $100 million deal make sense to both sides? Something of that nature, because he is getting up there in age. Midseason next year will be 37. And with respect to what he's done, I mean, you can see what age does to people. I mean, it's just a natural phenomenon, unless your name is Cam Hayward. Then it doesn't affect you at all. 412-928-9370. Let's squeeze in Joe in Verona. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good, Bob. Merry Christmas to your family and happy New Year and a healthy one.
Thanks.
Listen, I'm going another way. I know it's all Steelers and Eagles, but I've talked to you many times. I told you I'm in my 80s now and diehard Pirate fan. So I enjoy watching the baseball meetings. And so I got the trade about Ortiz and this kid from Toronto. And as all the guys who were talking were just obsessed with Ortiz, that he's going to be a great one because Cleveland knows how to develop and he's only 25. And I look at all these $765 million and the Yankees and the Dodgers. That's all they had on all week. And the Cubs and San Francisco and the Mets. And then we have our nutting and Jason last night. You know, he again defended the money. Well, he's a billionaire, and like you say, forget that small market. It's time to do a little bit, and he won't. It's going to be $95 million payroll when it should be $150, and he still wouldn't lose, even if he broke even. Give something to the city of Pittsburgh, and like you say many times, Bob, baseball was so broken, it makes me really sick, and thanks for taking my call,
Joe,
Bob.
I appreciate it. Hopefully they'll get something going for you, but that's what it's going to take. There's no question. There's no reason not to spend, especially we talked about this window they have. They have a window. They have some young pitchers. Ortiz, I thought, was going to be part of it. Horwitz is an interesting character to me. He can do some things. But if he's your first baseman, you know, I saw Kyle Tucker on the market. He was traded to the Cubs, the Yankees. A lot of teams are interested. Make a trade like that. He's 27. What would shy the Pirates away is the fact that he has one more year on a contract and he's embarking on something big. He has been a terrific hitter for them. He's a really good outfielder. I would have loved to see them make a trade for Kyle Tucker just because it had nothing to do with whether or not he was going to be here this year. He would be. Now you try to figure out a deal that makes sense, and don't be shy about spending $150 to $200 million on an outfielder who I think is probably going to command that. We'll see. One more quick call. I'm sorry, Seth. I'm way over, but I don't like people waiting because I appreciate you calling. Dylan and Cranberry before we go to break. Hey, Dylan, how are you?
Hey, Bob. How are you? Just want to say, I think unless Russell Wilson goes on a tear the rest of the season, the team MVP needs to go to Boswell. Look at what Justin Tucker's done in Maryland or has not done. He's cost the Ravens three games this year.
He's not the only one. Everyone in the AFC North, whether it's Hopkins or McPherson, they all have missed critical kicks.
All critical kicks, and Boswell's just been a stud. Say what you want. I think this postseason will be rather interesting. Whether the Steelers and the Eagles are in the big dance at the end, we still do not know, but Boswell's got to be the team MVP unless Russell Wilson goes on to tear these last four games. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dylan. All right. We'll get more calls. 412-928-9370 is the number. But I'll ask you for your team MVP. This is award season in the NFL as we get closer to the finish line, especially team awards. So who is your MVP? I'll make a big case for Chris Boswell winning games where they didn't score touchdowns. I think he should absolutely get consideration. But is he the most valuable? Or is it Russell Wilson? Or is it T.J. Watt? Or is it Cam Hayward? Who would you give it to? And while we're at it, we may as well throw in your biggest disappointment of the season or your biggest surprise of this season. All of these are on the table for you at 412-928-9370. We will continue. I want to remind you first to support the sponsors of this program because I certainly want to thank them. Number one, Cochran. Does a great job over the years. They got so many dealerships, and they can make things happen for you. Expressway at Cochran.com. Also, Shendarovich, Shendarovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and, of course, the good people of PNC Bank, where you can really make your finances easy. Really. With the virtual wallet, it's made. I'm not a good math guy, but this makes it easy for me. I never make a mistake because they don't make a mistake. That's PNC.com. We'll come back with more calls on the way here. Bob Pompeiani along with Seth Davis behind the glass. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
From the Fan. Rolling along on a beautiful, cold Saturday morning. It's football weather. It's in the air. And we got you covered tomorrow on KDK TV, our pregame show, 11:30 in the morning. As always, it's the BetMGM Steelers kickoff. Charlie Batch and I in the studio. Rich Walsh, Jerry Dulac on site in Philadelphia. After the game, I know it's going to be late, we'll be on KDK Plus. Chris Hoke and I break it all down for you. You'll have a chance to call into that special edition of the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call. And then we wrap it all up with a number one Cochrane Sports Showdown tomorrow night. Chris Muller will be joining me, and we'll be live with that show. Will Graves. And for the first time, Mike DeCourcy. Outstanding journalist with the Sporting News will make his debut on the Showdown. That's tomorrow night after the late news on KDKA. In the meantime, man, it's some of these numbers are almost identical since week six of the season. If you break these down, Pittsburgh offense, Philadelphia offense has been outstanding, both of them. The Eagles and Steelers are first and second in rush attempts per game. So, I mean, that tells you a lot about what they like to do, both teams. They want to run the ball. When you have Saquon Barkley, I still can't believe that the Giants would let him go. It's hard for me to imagine, but they did. Worst case scenario, he goes to a team in their own division, and boom, the rest is history. Now he's embarking on a record. Eric Dickerson has the record, but he's like, I think he has to average 120 yards a game over the next four to get there. The way he's going, though, I would not be surprised. And normally when you put up those kinds of numbers, you're going to be the MVP of the league, even when you have quarterbacks normally dominating. Which leads to my question. Award season Steelers, if you had to pick team awards, give me your MVP, give me your rookie of the year, give me your biggest surprise and disappointment. Let's go to Greg in Youngstown, who's on the air right now. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how's it going? I'll give you real quick. Wilson MVP, that middle linebacker, what's his name? Isn't he Wilson too? Peyton, whatever his name is.
For rookie, you're going to pick him over Frazier?
Yeah, I'm taking him. Yeah. Yeah, he made big plays. Frazier's good, but this guy's really came through.
You haven't noticed Frazier as much, though, because he does what he does on an offensive line that doesn't normally get the attention I think it deserves.
Yeah, but Peyton Wilson, I'm taking him. Okay. And then most disappointing is Fitzpatrick. I mean, if he doesn't pick up his game, he has to be gone. They're going to have to let him go next year.
Wait. Before you say that, I get what you're saying because you're looking at statistics, right, only? And I agree, he needs to be more active. I'd love to see him schematically more involved, but what they're asking him to do does affect what he does. Right?
I saw Troy play and Donnie Shaw play and Cardinal Lake play. He's not even in their class.
Yeah, but that's
sorry.
That was a LeBeau blitz first all over the place from all angles. Blitzburg versus what it is now.
He's got to make plays. I mean, I'm sorry, Bob. You could put anybody in center field. You're not going to pay a guy $18 million and not pay Russell Wilson.
I hear that, and I agree that he needs to be more involved in that sort of thing, but I also wouldn't discount what he means in the middle of the field. But go ahead. Who else? Who's your biggest disappointment? Well, him. Okay.
And Wilson's the MVP. Russell Wilson. If we don't have Russell Wilson, we don't even.
Okay, would you consider Roman Wilson to be another Wilson to be the biggest disappointment? And I say that he's injured, so it's hard for me.
He's a rookie.
I know that, but he's the 84th overall pick. I would expect him to be out. He's been gone all season. I know he's injured. And I don't want to. All right, that makes sense.
It's not going to make the season. He wasn't going to make her season. Hey, number two about the game, real quick. What they got to do is totally commit to the run. Just try to shut Barkley down or slow him down in Hurst. And what I would do is I would put Porter against Brown and say, listen, man, here's a game where you can get physical because he's going to be physical. You like getting physical with receivers. This is your guy. And I think because they're going to try to throw the ball to Brown tomorrow, and I think this is Porter's big game. I think if he shows up and he plays really good, we have a chance to win because I think we're going to take the run out a little bit, but he's going to try to throw it to Brown like he did last time against us, and he killed us last time. Mm-hmm. Throwing to Brown.
That was 2 years ago when Jalen Hurts had four touchdown passes and no interceptions against the Steelers in his first and only.
Brown destroyed us. And real quick about the Pirates. Let's say real quick. If you're Bob Nutting, right, and you got schemes, and you're a businessman, why don't you spend $125 or $150 million on your team for the next 3 years, and then if you win a World Series, maybe you could sell your team for twice as much. Maybe that would
absolutely 100%, 100%. Thanks, Greg. You're right on that, and you're right on Joey Porter. This is going to be the matchup, especially with this little internal strife that they have. Graham saying that Jalen Hurts and Brown are getting into it a little bit. Okay, you're going to see them just like when things get crazy over here in Pittsburgh, and sometimes you immediately target the guy who needs to be involved. We saw that earlier with Pickens. You've seen a lot with Antonio Brown. You've seen a lot with – it doesn't matter the wide receiver. So I would expect that, and I do agree because A.J. Brown is a bigger guy, that these officials are going to let them play. And if they let them play, Joey Porter can be physical with him, should be physical with him, has the ability to stay with him. I know that they got this circled, this matchup. It's going to be one of the most interesting matchups to have. Zane is in the car, and he joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Zane.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Appreciate it.
I just want to make a case for my disappointment of the year. It's not even a player. I would say it's Omar Khan. I understand getting rid of Deontay being a cancer, and he didn't even want to be here. But him taking in the first round of the draft a left tackle for the second year in a row, who they converted to right tackle, passing up on Brian Thomas Jr. when they only had Pickens and Austin on their wide receiver, in their wide receiver room. I just don't get that. He's having an outstanding year as a rookie. He led the nation in yards per catch and touchdowns playing alongside neighbors. I just don't understand.
Well, first of all, I think if you're using that as your only judgment of Omar, there's a lot more good that he's done than that. But I do agree that they've undervalued maybe a number two receiver, and they've been chasing it ever since. But before you knock the Deontay Johnson trade, look at Dante Jackson and what he's done
for them. Absolutely.
I mean, that's also the part of that trade that you have to remember. Five interceptions, not many cornerbacks in the NFL have that, and he's been a very good complement for Joey Porter. So that's that. But, yes, I think if you're going to look at a disappointing part of what he's done, it would have to be that. But again, bringing in two new quarterbacks, before you write off – I mean, I understand Troy Fautanu is going to be very, very important for them. If he and Jones eventually – because Moore's probably going to get a bigger contract someplace else. If those two guys, and they have that in the back of their mind, they know that certain guys are going to leave just because of the money involved, and you know they're trying to allocate a different route. You're going to have this offensive line – mostly be very young and athletic.
Yeah.
And in time, that may look like a very good pick. I get the Thomas thing, and they're a wide receiver. There are a lot of wide receivers. You can get wide receivers in every round if you want to. And, you know, they were counting on Roman Wilson. Back to my point about him. If he had been playing and done something, maybe you would have a different view of this, but I understand your comment. And, of all the things, that would be the thing right now that stands out.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you, Zane. Let's go to Mike in Shaler Township. Mike. What's going on?
Hey, hello, my brother Bob. Got a few things for you. This is never going to happen in Steelers history, but this will be the ultimate time to do this. The old Pirate Sunday lineup. Let everybody rest. Make sure you don't get injured.
You can get injured getting out of your car, Mike. Look what happened to George Pickens and look what happened to Deshaun Elliott. These hamstrings could come out in practice.
I get it. All right.
But I'm saying, if you do that, you're asking, you better than win the next two games. Because you're going to go from potentially winning your division to being a fifth, sixth wild card. I don't want to go there. If they have the road is in front of them right now, and I'm not going to lessen any of these games. This is just as important if you're looking for seeding, home playoff games, all that kind of stuff.
Wow, you're asking a lot. But, hey, anyway, MVP.
Well, let me ask you something real quick. You say rest. Who would you rest? Mike, who would you rest since your scenario is resting everyone? Who would you rest?
My God, first off, Bob, the odds of winning this game are low. Okay, let's just face it. We're playing the Eagles.
Surrender unconditionally?
You know what? Every once in a while, you get a Willie Parker game from days gone by where – you know, you play Buffalo last game of the season where you have nothing to lose, so you play the Sunday lineup, and you know what? You win. I mean,
if you do that and they lose, and then next week you lose at Baltimore and you lose the division as a result.
Doo-doo.
Right. Yeah. That's why you don't do it.
Okay.
Okay, give me your MVP and all that stuff.
MVP, Golden Toe, Boswell, Rookie of the Year, Zach Frazier, Pirates. Okay, Bob Nutting, he's a slumlord. He has slumlord mentality. He, you know, slumlords buy cheap houses, get a great rate of return. They're happy no matter what the house looks like. They don't care if it's falling down. They're making a great rate of return. His mother was the same way in the panhandle of West Virginia. She was a slumlord. They're billionaires.
Right. Now, hey, listen, the philosophy. Mentality. Mike, thanks for the call. What I will say about that is, when you become an owner of a, he's a smart man. There's no doubt about that. He's made a lot of money. He's a smart businessman. Business and baseball is different, and it always will be. If you get your hands on a team, you do it so that you can win. The motivation is to win. It's not to treat it as if you're running some sort of regular company, whatever that may be. This is about trying to do something for a city that has given you a lot, and it's time to do it. It's been time to do it, but now it's more than ever. But based on what we see, they haven't done a whole bunch, and I don't know what they're going to do. I would have been all in on this Kyle Tucker thing. Absolutely. I would have given up a lot to get him, too. And I would have signed him to an extension and make it so that he has to say yes to it. That's just me. I'm spending the money because I want to see it. Look, there's improvements going on right now. If you go to PNC Park, all on the outside, they're making it better. Why are they doing it? It's part of their business plan, right? Why can't that translate into what goes on the field? Try to take that same, we're going to repair this on the field. Put it to your roster. 412-928-9370. Well due for a break. We'll take it right now. Come back right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We roll along here. Hour number two, great day in Pittsburgh. It's going to be a great sports weekend. By the way, a little shout out to the Pitt women's volleyball team in the Elite Eight, taking on Kentucky today. And with a win, they get back to the Final Four, and they have an opportunity to win a national championship. Survived a scare the other day, a five-setter, but they won the game against Oregon. Now they move on to take on Kentucky. Best of luck to Dan Fisher and his team. Our show is brought to you by number one Cochran. Shop 24-7 with ExpressWayCochran.com. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. PNC Bank. Make today the day. PNC.com. And Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. If you're looking for a great place to hit some golf balls, it's cold, but you can go to simulators. Go to 9 Yards Golf Lounge. It's down in Washington County. They got the top-of-the-line equipment there, something called Golf Zone, which is different than what you've been using. So get a chance, go down there, check it out. Great place to hang out. And I'm trying to get my grandkids to play. That's a long story. But we're trying to. They're, golf's a great sport. 412-928-9370. Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Twitter's brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township, SouthHillsKia.net. I owed you a weather from the last hour. Got kind of crazy there. So that's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 0% financing, 2024 Chevrolet EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd. With credit through GMC Financial. As you know, today it's nice outside right now. It's going to get up to 41 degrees. Tomorrow, a little bit warmer than that, although some rain is on the way. 412-928-9370. We have a changing of the guard. Thank you to Seth Davis. Joel Nelson is now behind the glass. He'll be taking your calls. So let's waste no time, Joel. Let's get right to him. We have a lot of people on, beginning with Anthony in Oakland. Anthony joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Anthony, what's going on?
Thank you, Bob. Bob, you know what upsets me sometimes when I hear the national and even local folks who make comments about, take for instance the Russell Wilson contract, that the Steelers should immediately sign him to an extension. And because of the setup of the Denver contract, the Steelers can't do that until after the season.
Right. It's after the season. They can't do anything until, right. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're saying to do it now. No, please, folks. Before you throw these things out there, maybe you should investigate a little more. They can't do anything with that towards him with a new contract while the Denver is paying the large portion of the contract. It's just that simple. Now, at the end of the season, they'll have to make determinations. Hopefully, Russell will take them to the Super Bowl and win it, and then you go with Justin Field, the younger player, to be quite honest with you, Bob.
That's your preference?
Yes. I want the younger player who can give me 10 years instead of maybe 2.
Yeah, big picture, yes, if you believe that he's the guy, you believe he's the guy who can turn into the kind of quarterback necessary to do everything, not just run, but also throw from the pocket.
Well, you could work with him on those things. That's why they have experts to do that. He has the arm to do it. You just have to teach him how to do it, and it could be done. It was done with, I tell you, we know it could be done because it was done with Josh Allen. Josh Allen was a loose cannon when he came out.
Yeah, but he's also a different type of quarterback, I think, in terms of his size, his ability to yank it from the, you know, from the pocket. He can throw it everywhere. I mean, I don't know if Justin Fields can. I hope he can, because he might be their choice moving forward. I think a lot of things come into play, and you're right. At the end of the season, they're going to have to make a choice.
But my point was, remember Josh Allen's rookie year? He was god awful. He didn't have the accuracy. He didn't have any of those things. So it could be tough. Secondly, a lot of these guys speculating last week on the Pickens issue. You know, talking almost like it was fabrication that he was just being disciplined, which was nonsense. The Steelers could not have disciplined him and then tell the league that he's injured. They would have been in big trouble if it was the other way.
Right. And the fact that it's going to affect another game and maybe a third game, who knows? I mean, it tells you what it was. But, people love to talk about things that are just speculation. And unfortunately, that takes part quite a bit.
Yeah, but when you're talking about discipline, man, that's somebody's character. And I just don't think that's right.
I agree with you. I don't think you got to know the situation before you make a definitive judgment on it.
And you and I both know why you can't go out here and hide injuries, because the league will come down. You will lose draft pick. You will be in big trouble if you do something like that with the league.
All right, who's your MVP? This has become a source of a different kind of debate here on this team. Normally, you don't give it to kickers. Would you give it to Chris Boswell?
No, I would give it to Patrick Queen, to be quite honest with you.
Even over Russell Wilson?
Yes, I would, because the Steelers, over the middle of their defense, since Ryan Shazier was injured, has been god-awful. But it's the middle of their defense has been shored up. And to me, the correlation is Patrick Queen. I'd give it to Patrick Queen.
Okay. Yeah, he works well with Landon Roberts, who's been just a heat-sinking missile when it comes to run stop. And I think Peyton Wilson is also added to it. Who's your rookie of the year?
The rookie of the year has to be Zach Frazier.
Yeah, me too.
He stabilized the offensive line, especially at that center position.
All right. Biggest disappointment before I let you go.
Biggest disappointment. You know what? I can't find any, to be quite honest with you, because this team has surpassed everyone's expectations.
A lot of people are talking about Minkah Fitzpatrick, and they do it strictly from a metrics and a statistical point of view.
Yes. Well, I don't know what the Steelers defense has done with Minkah. They've sent him more center field than what he used to be.
Right.
But, that, I think that's their decision. I haven't seen him slow down in any manner. But you remember, they had to save him because the last 2 years they played him more on the line. He got beat up, Rob. He was gone.
Yeah, I think it's schematically more than anything. I don't think it's his – he's not in the position to make some of them because they're not calling upon him to do it. But I do think I would like to take that next level with him. I'd like to see more blitzing. I'd like to see more putting him in the box here and there just for a look. Just to do something different to get people to think about it. So,
well, they will this week since the other corner, the other safety's been injured. They'll probably bring Minkah down. I'm glad they signed Eric Rota because he might make a presence in this game too. He played very well for them down the stretch last year.
All right, Anthony, thanks. Wish you and yours a wonderful holiday. Thanks for calling as always. Let's go to Ryan in New Jersey who joins us right now. Hello, Ryan. How are you? What's going on with the drones up there?
That's got to be the Pentagon goofing around. They're just playing coy, but whatever. That happens a lot. That happened a few years ago out here, too. Everybody
that many, though? They got drones everywhere.
If there was some boat from Iran sitting offshore launching drones over military bases, that sucker would be at the bottom of the water in about 5 seconds flat. The Navy has an itchy trigger finger. Anyway, so first off, happy holidays there, Bob.
You too.
Enjoy the season. So the Pens, I always call you about the Pens, but I really wanted to call about the Eagles. So the Pens are doing, I'll give them some credit, they're doing what they need to do, which is beat up on the bad teams. If you can beat up on the bad teams, you can keep yourself in the playoff conversation into February and March. And that's kind of what they're doing here. They're not really beating the good teams, but they are putting up 9 on Montreal and 6 on whoever. They need to beat Ottawa today. I'm not giving Jari any credit. It really just the depth scoring has really shown up, and that shows you cannot put everything on.
Well, to that point, Josh Yoey, who does a great job with The Athletic, he pointed out that they've scored 36 goals in the last 8 games, only one combined from Crosby and Malkin. That's a good sign.
Malkin's not doing anything. Crosby's got assists.
But that's a good sign, though, to me. They needed that.
Because they will eventually kick it in, you know what I mean? So if you can keep Achari and those type of guys on the score sheet, you're in good position. I mean, they're not going to win the Stanley Cup, but you want them to be in the playoff conversation. You know, once football ends, you want to have something to watch.
Absolutely.
Talk about. And that's what we're looking for here. And, you know, part of the victory tour for them, for the older guys. But they'll be in the conversation. They'll be in that 6-8 seed in the conference if they keep beating bad teams and they, you know, score a few victories here and there. Because that's where they are now, basically. And they're not far off at this point. But one thing, it's burned me up all week, and I get it. The Eagles are whatever they are, to 11-2, whatever their record is. But since I'm out here in the market, I got to hear these clowns all the time. I watch every Eagles game probably for the last 20 years, and they are more like Kansas City than Detroit. And what I'm saying is they are eking these games out. They are not this juggernaut. They're not like the 95-49ers or whatever like that, just mowing teams down. So they are everything's coming down to the end. They got a problem with their passing game as they aired out in public, which they always eat their young here, and they do that once a year. And they start to fall apart on Sirianni. Last year they went like 1-6 down the stretch, you know, and they were like 9-2, and they went like whatever, like they just crashed. So it's not impossible that'll happen either. The Steelers are going to lose this game, I would guess, but they're not going to get blown out. I just don't. I mean, it's always possible because it's a shit, you know, crappy environment, and you always, like, you know, you never want to play here. I get that. But the Eagles are a little bit of smoke and mirrors. They're definitely like Kansas City. They're winning these games close at the end.
Yeah, they're 7-1 in one score games, so they've been involved in a lot of them.
You know, and the Steelers, where they're at is basically they got to win one of the next 3 games to kind of preserve the season they're on. And all 3 of their losses at this point were horrible. Those 3 losses were terrible, and they posted 3 of them. So, you know, the Tomlin game that everybody talks about, they shouldn't have lost any of those games, and they did. So now they're in a position where they have to beat Kansas City, they have to beat Baltimore, they have to beat Philly. They have to at least one of those 3.
Yep.
Because if it comes down there on an 0-3 slide into Cincinnati, Baltimore's probably going to win the division, and then they're going to be playing.
Yeah, you don't want that.
They're going to succeed, and that's what it's looking at. But the key to the Eagles, and this happens every game, Queen or Peyton Wilson, or whatever, you have to spy Hurts. That you cannot let him break the pocket to the left or the right, and that's what teams do not do. Everything's always cleared out.
Yeah, I saw last week in the Carolina game, he had a 35-yard run too, and it was a tough run.
You have to spy him. If they can pull it off, put Queen on him, and just say, as long as that guy has a football in his hands, you follow him. Stand right in front of him because, I mean, that's what kills teams against the Eagles.
All right, Ryan, I got to let you go, but I appreciate that, especially your knowledge of the Eagles. Thank you for that. I do expect, you know, the under might be a good bet. Both these teams like to run the ball, number one. The Steelers would be probably more enticed to do it without Pickens. And if you can contain Barkley, and I think they will. I think they're not going to allow him to get 150 yards. He's going to get his yards, but if you could figure that out, the under might be a good bet. Let's go to Rodney in Wheeling. Hello, Rodney. What's going on down there in Wheeling, West Virginia?
I just wanted to call and say that my wife and I, when we first got out of college, we ran it off the nuttings. I do wish they would spend $150 million, but they were not slumlords. We paid $420 a month. It was for a nice Victorian apartment. And when my wife had our kid and had to take off work, they reduced the rent to $350, and that included utilities. I want the Pirates to spend more. I remember 2 of the 3 Pirates World Series from 60 to 79. I wasn't quite alive yet for Mazeroski, he's actually from around this area,
yep.
Close, right up the road. And obviously, I don't remember 1925, but no, they're actually decent people. Maybe, I mean, he should spend more money.
Listen,
on the team.
And there's no denying he's a good businessman. But in business and baseball, it's different. You got to be willing to lose. You got to be willing to do things that you wouldn't do in regular business. And that's where he doesn't change, and he needs to change. He has to adapt. I want to see. And thanks for the call, Rodney. Appreciate that. I think that, you know, they need to understand that even if you add Kyle Tucker, which they won't because he went to the Chicago Cubs, not good news for the Pirates. Even if you add, give me a free agent name out there, you know, who's going to make $20 million a year, your payroll will not significantly change. In fact, it's going to be still below the average of Major League Baseball. They got a pitching staff that begs offense. If they're this potentially this good, invest in them for the next 4 years and see where it takes you. Alan in Cheswick is on the air right now. What's up, Alan? How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks a lot for taking my call, Bob. Always enjoy talking to you.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Merry Christmas, too. Mm-hmm. I don't say happy holidays. I say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
So, I think the Steelers are going to win tomorrow. I think we're playing really, really good football right now all around. There's some, maybe some weaknesses here and there on the team, but overall, I think they're playing like a good team. I was listening to that one caller talking about wanting to keep Fields instead of Russ Wilson. I couldn't disagree with that more. I don't have anything against Justin Fields. Went 4-2 when we needed him to, but I don't know if he can turn into that consistent downfield accurate thrower. And I don't think that's something that can be coached. I think those guys have that, or they don't.
Well, some guys are late bloomers in that regard. The athleticism is what it is, but the decision is long range versus short term. When the season is over, that's going to be the pick. Now, you mentioned you think they'll win. This is interesting. The Steelers are the only team, and I just tweeted this out at KD Pump, the only team in the NFL that currently has a probability percent chance to finish in any of the 7 playoff seeds. No other team has this. Like, the odds of them getting a number one seed are low. They're 5%, but they still have a percent. Number two is 16%. The third seed, which seems more likely, is 41%. That'd bring you a home game in round one. Fourth seed, 8%. Fifth seed, you could drop down there at 17%. Sixth seed, 11%. Number seven seed, again, minuscule, 2%, just like number one. So it's going to be somewhere between 2 and 6 for them.
Yeah, and I like our chances this year because, like I said, I was glad they brought Wilson in. And I'll just leave you with this, Bob. Against the Washington, they're going to be the Redskins again, which I'm glad. But against that team, that pass that he dropped in to that Mike Williams, is that his name? There's not a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that can make that throw.
No. I mean, he's very good at making
throws. Russell Wilson is one of them, and that's why I would ride him until he was ready to retire, because I think he's that good.
Yeah, I do too, and I think he's very good in Philly. Thanks, Alan. He's 6-0 all time, 4-0 in that stadium. He knows he's a smart guy. He doesn't make careless throws. That's been his MO all the way through. He protects the football, but he's also capable of doing things down the field when necessary. Now, a large percentage of his throws are still within 10 yards, a lot of check downs. That's all good, as long as it doesn't become the lion's share of what you see. But I think having more wide receiving talent would certainly help him down the road. One more call here before we go to the break, because Joe and Robinson has been waiting for a long time. So, Joe, thank you for your patience. What's on your mind?
Hey, Pump, I called to go give you a tirade about the Pirates, but you had a caller saying that he was disappointed in Omar Khan. I don't understand that. I mean, he traded Johnson for Jackson, win.
Totally. And I said to him, of all the things you're pointing out, that's the one thing. But I understand the lack of wide receiving depth. And I'm sure Omar, he's been trying to figure that out all along, but you can't you can't discount that trade without talking about Dante Jackson.
Right, and Pomp, and let me bear with me for 1 second. Then he signed Elliott. He drafted Wilson, our
best linebacker. One of the year, I think, free agent signing, yes.
They signed Queen. Our Frazier's a draft pick. McCormick, or our right tackle, McCormick, is a draft pick. We have two brand-new quarterbacks who have both played great. He did that. I don't understand where he made a mistake, other than the wide receiver position, and they were in on every big-name wide receiver, and it didn't work out for him. I think he might be the league, the general manager of the year, along with Tomlin.
I think executive of the year makes total sense. At least he's in that conversation. But I also think, if you ask him, one of the reasons why he's been chasing that is because he knows the need for it, but he also expected Roman Wilson to take some of the schneid off that, right?
100%.
And they needed him. He got injured. So you can't necessarily look at it like he's not trying to fix that situation. He added a cornerback who's been very good, one of the top interceptors in the game, and he drafted a wide receiver who he expected in the second round to come in and play.
And Pom, Troy's going to be a 10-year, the lineman who's hurt, he's going to be a 10-year starter for us. He was already going to start till he got hurt. You can't control that. He hasn't made a mistake, I don't believe, in this draft and the way things were handled as free agents, other than the wide receiver, and he tried to pull the trigger. It wasn't like they weren't in the market. They were in the market for every big name, and sometimes the deal just can't get done.
But give him credit for not overdoing it. If he could have done that and traded a lot, and you know sometimes you got to be patient, too. He has a lot of the good qualities. He and Andy White work really well together, by the way. We got to go to a break. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. We got Jabbar, James, CJ on the line. Two more lines open at 412-57. No, that's the wrong number. That's the number of the sports call. At night, you can call that one, 575-2600. I have too many numbers. Thank goodness, Joel, I haven't given out your cell phone or mine yet. That could be next. 412-928-9370 is the number. Thank you to our sponsors once again. Number one, Cochrane leads the way. Ride in style. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. It's on seven nights a week. KDK Plus will be on the air tonight, tomorrow night, every night at 10:35. And then after Steeler games, make sure you call a special edition of the Ireland Contracting nightly sports call. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. More calls on the way on a beautiful Saturday in Pittsburgh. This is the Bob Pompiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back. Thanks for joining me today. Thank you to our sponsors, number one, Cochrane, Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day at PNC Bank. We have a lot of callers. I appreciate that. I really do. Love talking to you guys. So let's get right to it. We have a lot of stuff to get into, from Steelers, Eagles to the Penguins. How big of the next few games is this? They're only 2 points out of a wild card despite everything that's gone on. They won big in Montreal. Brian Rust, I said I'd do this. Brian Rust has been one of the best draft picks that the Penguins have made ever, really, when you think about a third round, what he's been able to do. I found it interesting the other night that he had a hat trick on the same day as Jake Guentzel's hat trick for Tampa. So you had dueling milkshake factory guys going at it. Hey, by the way, Joel, have you tried a milkshake from Brian Rust, the Rusty, whatever they call it, milkshake? It's probably the same.
Not.
But
is it the same?
I don't know.
Like
I wonder if there's a different. I wonder if there's a different ingredient involved. Whatever it is, it has to do with sugar and energy, because that guy has been really playing well, and he always really has. Ever since Guentzel's been traded, he's been the one guy who stepped up big time goal scoring production, and he does it in a lot of different ways. Anyway, let's go back to the Lions. We got James in the South Hills. He's been waiting. Hey, James, what's going on?
Hey, Dr. Pompiani.
Thank you, my patient.
You're the sports doctor. Hey, Bob. This might have been something that's kind of discussed to death, but I mean, what is Sean Payton just a jerk, or why would you want to get rid of a guy so badly that played as well as Russell Wilson did last year for the Donkeys? And then, you know, look what he's doing here this year. I mean, most NFL franchises would kill for a guy like Russell Wilson, the way he played last year and this year. Who's the culprit here?
Well, the internal workings, I don't know. I've heard speculation about, but I think Sean Payton just never liked him for whatever reason. He wanted to, you know, he was there. They were in a position, he thought, maybe to draft somebody. He's put all of his eggs in the Bo Nix basket, and that may be a good basket to be in. And I don't know what happened, because the numbers and his performance was good. 26 touchdowns, 8 picks. He went to Buffalo and beat Josh Allen head-to-head. I mean, there's a lot to like about him. I do not understand what happened there. And quite frankly, their loss is Pittsburgh's gain. I'm surprised other teams. I heard the Giants, he made a visit there. It was like the Giants and the Steelers were the only two. I'm just surprised, given the need for good quarterback play all over the place. No one else was involved in that. But hey, even a sixth-round pick for Justin Fields seemed like a great price. I mean, Omar Khan did both of those in one season. That's a good. Now, with regard to the future, how would you do it, James? He is 36, going to be 37, but he's playing at a very high level. Their window right now, and I say that because, much like the Pirates, although it's different, but you know what I mean. When you have a window, you have a window. Their window is right. Cam Hayward, right. T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, those kind of guys. If they're going to win, they need to do it soon. He gives them the best chance to do it. So what do you envision in this offseason?
Well, maybe play it like you said, the window. So, you know, pay him, see if he might be under, if he likes it here so much and likes Coach Tomlin and everything and loves the city like he claims he does, which I don't doubt it, he might, you know, possibly consider some type of discount, because he has $300 million in the bank. and a chance to win another championship. And then maybe the Steelers could try to, you know, draft another quarterback like they did with Ben, or you know, draft somebody high. I mean, I know it's a crapshoot, but, you know, instead of relying on patchwork stuff like Trubisky and whatever, just, you know, keep Russell Wilson around for the next couple years if he's willing, if they can afford it, and try to draft, you know, try to draft a quarterback and see where it goes. I mean, I don't really, it's kind of tough, but, you know, I know it's kind of wishful thinking probably. Yeah, but
especially where they're going to draft down low unless you make a trade, you know, because they're typically right. going to be in the 20 to 28 range, and you can't really get, and you never know, though. But, all right, James, thanks, man. Appreciate the call from the South Hills. Yeah, so, I mean, my best guess would be they are going to try to sign Russell Wilson. And it may mean you're going to cost yourself Justin Fields, because I don't think that he's going to hang around to be a backup again when he finds his career moving toward, you know, backup status. He may want a chance to start someone, do it a prove it kind of deal somewhere where he can have a good year and then turn that into a nice contract. Vis-a-vis Baker Mayfield, you know, when he went to Tampa, that was kind of okay. What can I do for you? And then he showed some things. He gets a 3-year, $100 million deal, something similar to that. And you know, they're going to be. Gee, how many teams should need quarterbacks? It seems like every team has a need, whether it's a starter or a backup, but there are going to be some starting jobs also. I want to throw this out just because for those of you who, and I understand why Philadelphia, quite frankly, I would expect Philadelphia to win this game based on what's gone on with injuries and everything else. But here's Russell Wilson versus the Eagles, and this includes playoffs. I told you his record overall is 6-0, 4-0 in Philadelphia. That says a lot. Yards passing per game against the Eagles, 252. Touchdowns to interceptions, 9 touchdowns to 1 interception. Passer rating of 101. Currently, from and that's just against Philly over his career. Currently, since week 6 of the NFL season, no quarterback has a higher quarterback rating than Russell Wilson. Now, I've asked MVPs. I still haven't gotten enough. You know, Boswell seems to be the choice based on callers here, and I think there's a great case to be made for Chris Boswell for your team MVP. Rookie of the year, to me, it would be Frazier with Peyton Wilson getting his flowers, as they say. And then biggest disappointment, biggest surprise. If I have to, you know, is Russell Wilson a surprise? And is Roman Wilson a disappointment? I don't want to hold an injury against a guy, but they expected stuff from him. Let me know what you think on that coming up. Let's go to Jabbar in Brentwood. What's up, Jabbar? How are you?
Hey, I'm just asking, throwing something out there. What about having Russ talking Justin Fields in this thing and picking up his fifth-year option?
Well, they already turned that down.
Well, signing – I mean, I think you could convince Justin to stay here if you say, okay, we're just going to sign Russell to 2 more years and then we're going to turn the reins over to you.
I don't know. First of all, you would have to get Russell to agree to that. And how much would it take? I think he wants more than that. And it may help them to kind of roll that money down the road a little bit. But you have to also convince Justin Fields. Now, he may be looking at this, my career's in the balance here. I need to be a starter if I'm going to make the money that I want to make. And if that's the case, he won't stay. I wouldn't imagine him staying.
I mean, obviously Russell's the better quarterback, but I think Justin hasn't had the proper quarterback coaching, and the Steelers are giving him that.
No, I think that's a very good point, because he's had how many offensive coordinators in his time in Chicago? Every year, head coach, new offensive coordinator. And that can stunt a guy's growth. I don't think there's any not believing that.
Yeah, I just think that Justin should stay, get coached up for a couple of years, then be able to, you know, move forward with that. So.
All right, we'll see. Matt Jabbar, thanks. Wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, man. Thank you for the call.
Thanks.
I think you're a first-time caller. Hopefully you're not a last-time caller, so I appreciate it. Let's go out to Dave in North Strabane. Dave is on the hotline right now. What's up, Dave?
Hi, Bob. Well, I wanted to say go Steelers, but this call's about Bob Nutting and the Pirates. As far as Nutting goes, he has to be shown – that we mean business. I mean, we have to get his attention, like another walkout, mass walkout.
You know, that, Dave, I don't think there's any way for that to happen, because I don't think he, you know, he's not going to be moved by anything in that regard. I think the one, and thank you for the call. I've heard a million of these kinds of calls, and I don't think it's going to happen. What I think has to happen, though, is that he needs to understand, and I don't know who in that front office can get him. He's smart. You know, he's made a lot of money in his life. He's a very smart man. There's no question about that. But you have to be pushed to be willing to lose money to make money in baseball sometimes. When I say lose money, that may mean a lesser profit margin. It doesn't mean you're losing money because the valuation of the property keeps going higher and higher regardless of where you finish. They've proven that. I'm talking about the profit margin. Do you always have to make top margin, right? No, you don't have to. You can put more money into your payroll currently. I don't want to hear about in the system. In the system is in the system. Nobody knows where the system goes or where the money ends. I want to talk about your current payroll. There's no reason why you can't elevate it to at least the level of some of these mid-tier teams. You have every reason to do it. And listen, Pittsburgh fans will support. And they will run, flock to you. You saw that in 2013, 14, and 15. They're hungry. They want to see something on the field. So all you got to do is deliver that. And it doesn't take all that much to do it. Yes, I understand why you need to have growth in your system. Yes, I understand why you need prospects. You need blue chippers. Certainly Baltimore did it. They did it on a faster track. But now they're going to have to pay some of these guys, and I think they will because they know what they have with their team. You got to do both, but you have to be – the window is now for them with Skeens because they're not going to ever be able to afford Skeens, and I wouldn't blame them for that if that's the case. If it was going to be $600 million, I get it. But for now, you can do some things. I was hopeful that they would somehow get involved in Kyle Tucker, not just as a PR stunt, but legitimately be involved. They need a right fielder. He is as good as it gets right now, available in a trade. Cubs got him, Pirates didn't. 412-928-9370. Charles in Chicago is up next. Hello, Chuck. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Bob? Thanks again. Just wanted to follow up on a topic I was hearing from Am Carley and Doran Dickerson, and which kind of registered with me. Basically, the Steelers, they're somehow able to win this game versus the Eagles. I want to hear your stance. Steelers should be looked at a little bit differently as serious Super Bowl contenders. Because I'll be honest with you right now, I mean, you're basically down right now, what is it, like the Eagles, and you got to be on the road against the Ravens. So basically the Final Four right now to wrap up the season. I mean, if you can find a way to take care of business in Philadelphia – and then handle your business versus Baltimore, or you split. But especially when in Philly, where you haven't won in nearly 60 years, I think that would be a huge statement win for like their confidence and really could rock the boat as far as Super Bowl contenders. That's all I had to say. Thanks for squeezing
all
me,
right,
Bob.
And, thank you, Charles.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Well, listen, I anticipate, I would imagine, a lower scoring game. A lot of people, and I originally thought there'd be a lot of points, but now without Pickens, I don't know how they're going to play it. But yeah, if they could win that game, that is a statement. I think they've already arrived a statement team, you know. They can beat any team in the AFC. Now, the one team I would say has my attention more than any, and it's not Kansas City, it's Buffalo. I think Buffalo, when they're on their game, their defense is good, their offense is going to score. You got to just try to slow them down. I think Kansas City's offense is not what it's been. Patrick Mahomes is still a difference maker in so many different ways. At the end of the game, you do not want him to have the ball. He's done this all season long, but they've been somewhat lucky. Last week, you know, Andy Reid, I was critical of the fact that he let that clock go all the way down with no chance for a muff snap on that field goal that hit the, Matthew Wright hits the upright. It could have missed. Give yourself another chance in case there's a mistake, but he made it. Okay, they win. They've won almost every game that way, and that's fine. I think Buffalo is more of a threat to any team in the AFC. Let's go to George Manesson. Hello, George. Thanks for waiting. What's up?
Hi, Bob. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to your family.
You. Thank you.
Hey, I think how we can win this game tomorrow is, first of all, I think if we can score first, put some pressure on them. But if we can establish a run with Warren and Najee, and I think Freiermuth can be a big key tomorrow. Hopefully we can game plan for him. And then, you know, maybe just try to keep the clock running or keep the ball and limit their possessions. And I think we have the edge in kicker. Obviously, Elliott has struggled too. So I think it's going to come down to a field goal game, and I think we're going to win on a long one.
Well, the Steelers, and thanks for the call. Hey, you know, you're exact. When it comes down to field goals, there's no team in the NFL you'd rather be than the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that's absolutely correct. They also are the team that takes the ball away. We saw that in evidence with this Cleveland game and all the games, you know, they've been very active in taking the ball. You know, they may give up yards and bend a little, but most of the time, some of these plays are huge at critical times. TJ Watt and Nick Herbig are 1 and 2 in the NFL in most strip sacks. They have two guys. That doesn't even count Alex Highsmith, who is his own menace over there. So they got a lot of depth in that department. They brought in Preston Smith. They're highly insulated in that department, which is good, and so are the inside linebackers, too, for the first time really consistently in a long time. David and Moon, you're on the air right now. Thank you, David. What's up?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. You do a great job.
Thank you, ma'am.
Real quick, man, I know a few callers back talked about Sean Payton and why he let Russell go. Sean Payton, to me, is overrated, but again, he has won a Super Bowl. To me, Mike Tomlin, for some reason, I mean, I know a lot of people have been calling for his job last couple of years, but he's doing a great job. And I've always respected Tomlin. He's made some tough decisions. And as you know, it's about talent, man. Great coaches need talent, need the horses. And some of the decisions he's made, Tomlin, I think he should get kudos. And again, people wanting to call for his head. Like, for example, Thursday night, St. Louis and San Francisco got two boy geniuses. What was the score, 12-9?
Yeah, 12-6, I think. Yeah, whatever it was. It was. Yeah.
Come on, man. So
Shanahan's finding out what it's like when you get a battered team. He and his quarterback has not been all that. They got a tough decision to make out there about Brock Purdy, I think. How much money want to keep him.
And how funny would it be if, you don't want to wish for injury, but if Kenny Pickett comes in the game, and that would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
My last comment, Bob. You know, I'm a Pitt guy, played for Pitt, and I know we talked about a few weeks ago or a week ago about flag planting, and I think you were saying it was unsportsmanship. Look, well, our games against Penn State, I could just imagine if Penn State came to Pitt Stadium and tried to plant a flag. Now, I played with Saragusa, Keith Hamilton, you know, Terrell Austin, Tony Saragusa. Guys, yeah. I could just imagine what would happen if Penn State tried to plant the flag on Pitt.
Oh, you'd have to call in. You'd have to call in the EMS and everybody else, man. David,
no doubt.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Thanks, man. I appreciate the call. But first of all, how do you plant a flag in like AstroTurf or artificial? I mean, I don't know. You don't do that. It's symbolic. I get it. But the other thing, just for me, when I see lawmakers get involved with calling it a felony. Please, you have big things to worry about. There are so many needs that lawmakers need to spend their attention, not whether or not a flag plant should be a felony. Give me a break. 412-928-9370. Tom, Aaron, Kyle, Matt, Joe, I'm going to try to squeeze you in when I come back. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back. Joel Nelson behind the glass. Bob Pompeiani here. Coming up next, it's Austin Bechtel for 4 hours with you at 412-928-9370. Thank you to number one Cochran Shop 24/7 with Expressway, Cochran.com. They got so many great dealerships all throughout the area, and they make it wonderful for you to ride one of their vehicles in every aspect of that. So check them out at Cochran.com. Shendorovich and Fishman got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. And PNC Bank, make today the day. And if you're riding around today looking to hit a golf ball and it's too cold, you want to do it, go to Nine Yards Golf Lounge in Washington County. It's a good place. Trying to take grandkids down there to learn, and they have all the tools to make it possible at Nine Yards Golf Lounge. In the meantime, we have a lot of people on the line here, so I want to get to you. Joe in North Park, you're up first in this segment. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Thanks for waiting. What's going on?
Hey, I got a question. Would it be possible to sign both quarterbacks, but Wilson get a side contract that he stays on as a coach or advisor after he's done playing?
I don't know that he's going to be interested in that, and I don't. You know, I think they're going to have to make a choice, period, Joe. I think it comes right down to that. And if you're Justin Fields, you have to look at your own long-term future. If Russell Wilson signs here, your future would be as a backup, most likely, unless there's an injury. But you can have opportunities elsewhere to get a one-year deal, prove it, and turn it into mega bucks. I use the example of Baker Mayfield, and that's a good one. He, you know, looking for a chance, got it at Tampa, turn it into 3 years, $100 million. That's how he would most likely look at this. If they're intent on signing Russell Wilson, which I think is what their intent is, my guess on that. So we'll see. I don't think it's possible to keep both, no.
Okay. I just thought if they offered him a side bet, keeping him on as a coach, so they could give
Yeah, but I don't think he's interested in that, Joe. He's made a lot of money. His wife's very active in what she does, and they have three kids, I think. So, yeah. But thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. I think you'll see one of the two here next year. And Kyle Allen looks like a pretty good backup if he wants to choose to continue in that role. Let's go to Tom in Greensburg. Hello, Tom. What's going on?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, so there's something you got to help me understand. I'm not sure what happened with De La Cruz. You know, the Pirates need a right fielder. This guy was as affordable as anybody they're going to get.
Yeah, but he wasn't good. He wasn't good enough. He had 18 home runs. He struck out every other time. I want something better than that. I think they did too.
Do you remember when Morneau came a couple years ago and had a down after he got traded here, and then after they didn't sign him, he took off again? You know, they'll sign
that was a long time ago, back in the last decade. But yes, I understand. But I never liked that deal. I thought that was a just do something to please the public kind of deal. They had other guys they could have gone after, bigger resumes than his.
I like the pop in the bat, though.
There's no question he has pop in the bat, but I don't think he's a good fielder, and I think he strikes out too much. But they all do anymore.
They'll go after a guy that was good 2 years ago. You had one good year, but De La Cruz had a down month and a half, and he DFA, and they trade all them guys for nothing, nothing.
Well, I mean, I was hopeful they would get involved in Kyle Tucker. That's who I want, the guy like that. OPS over 1,000 2 years ago. He hit how many home runs? He's hit a lot of home runs down in Houston. They could have done it if they wanted to. They chose, I guess, not to. But thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. At 412-928-9370. We're headed out to Aaron in Uniontown. Aaron, you're on the air right now. What's up?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good. What's going on, man?
Nothing. So quick prediction. I think the Steelers are a dark horse in the AFC. I think it's going to be the Bills in Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game and the Bills in Detroit in the Super Bowl. But I think Justin Fields is going to walk and Russell Wilson is going to get a 3-year deal. He's still healthy. He really hasn't been injury prone the majority of his career. I think Russell Wilson fits here. I think the fans love him. I think he loves Pittsburgh. And if he manages to take this team to a Super Bowl or be successful in the next couple of years, like, I think his career is going to look better in Pittsburgh than in Seattle. I just think he fits here.
Well,
he had a big one in Seattle.
He's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, I think. And if you add more to it here, that's just making it easier for them to decide. But yeah, the question would be, how much money would you be willing to give him, knowing that he's an elder quarterback in NFL?
I don't know about the money. I'm not good with the money, but I think 3 years is fair. To me, Justin Fields isn't a starter. He's a one-read guy. He's inaccurate, but we don't. I mean, he doesn't need to be on the team. Somebody will give him a 1-year deal, like you said. But I think Russ is here for the next 3 years, and I think Russ is going to do a lot of really good things, and he's going to go down as one of the more liked players in Pittsburgh Steelers history.
All right, Aaron, thank you. I think you're on to that. I would agree. I think he's going to be here. I think he wants to be here as long as they make it worth it for him. And he has to understand their position, too, with his age. So that'll be all negotiated after the season. Matt is our last caller today. Matt's in North Carolina, and he's on the fan right now. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking the call. Just a real quick reaction or response to just trying to analyze this game between Philly and Pittsburgh, and just trying to pick your brain. So I'm kind of concerned the fact that Pickens isn't playing, so that would mean that they're probably going to play against the run heavier than the pass, right? So how do you foresee this turning out?
Well, you know, from a realistic point, I don't think they'll win this game. I just think the Philadelphia Eagles are in a better place right now with fewer key injuries. When you add Pickens to it, it really does limit what they can do. Although last week they certainly stepped up. A lot of the guys were called upon. They didn't have to make big plays, just one play here and there, which were, you know, Scotty Miller even got involved. They need that sort of effort there from that point of view if they're going to. And Philadelphia is just such a good defense. You know, it's a tough thing for me. I see one of the matchups, I said this earlier, Matt, and it's Mason McCormick and Jalen Carter. He's got to deal with a guy who's just terrific at what he does in tackles for losses. He penetrates. He gets to the quarterback. They're going to have to try to, you know, I think Freiermuth is going to be a key to this game for them. But honestly, if it's a score, if it's tight, and they only hope to be tight in this game, Boswell becomes a looming figure when you have Jake Elliott 0 for 5 in his last 50-yard field goals, and Boswell's been a machine like that. So that could be a factor. But overall, I mean, the Steelers going there, It's not an easy assignment. The Saquon Barkley guy, even though I think they're not going to let him go off, he's going to get his yards, but they will somewhat neutralize them. I foresee a big play or two from Jalen Hurts with his legs. The last few games, he's done that, and if they concentrate so much on and he gets outside, he can be very devastating for them.
So, real quick question as a reaction to what you just said. Do you think that Mike Williams will fill in for Pickens, or what do you think? What player do you think is going to have to step up because of Pickens being out?
Well, I think they all do. Like that's three. I'd have to say Austin and Van Jefferson first and foremost, with Mike Williams thrown in there in third down situations. But Freiermuth would be the key. He's been targeted 14 times in the last three games. He's had 13 completions. That's not enough targets for me. I want to see more targets, and I hope he gets them in this game because he could be effective that way. But that's a good defense they're facing in Philadelphia, make no mistake. Matt, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
But I think the Steelers are certainly a player in this all the way to the end. We'll see where they end up seeding-wise. They're the only team in the NFL who has a possibility to at least a percentage possibility of ending up in any one of those seven playoff spots, which is crazy to think of this late in the season. All right, that's going to wrap it up. I want to give you the fan weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevy EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GMC Financial. Today, increasing cloudiness as the day goes on, 41 degrees. Tomorrow's going to be a little higher toward 50, but also rain coming into the forecast. Want to thank our sponsors today, as always, Number One Cochran. Drive in style and ride in style at Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway. PNC Bank. Make today the day. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. Got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting. Home of the nightly sports call. Big day tomorrow on KDK-TV, beginning at 11:30 a.m. with our BetMGM Steelers kickoff show. After the game, it's a 4:00.